It was the grieving orca mother who carried her dead calf around for weeks that brought attention to the plight of the southern resident orcas. But no one seems to agree on what should be done to save them. Governor Inslee is now proposing a $1.1 billion spending plan to save the whales based on recommendations of the Orca Task Force. This would spend money on salmon habitat recovery, repairing culverts, pumping out more Chinook from state hatcheries. Since this is a proposal, not the final deal, there's going to be a big debate on it. So we thought we'd bring you another perspective on this. I talked with Ray Hilborn, who is professor of fisheries and aquatic sciences at the University of Washington.
Well, it's almost certainly multiple causes for the decline of southern resident killer whales. But what I haven't heard in the discussion is pointing out that northern resident killer whales, which also depend upon Chinook salmon, are doing just fine. There's probably five or six times more of them than southern residents. They're growing at quite a reasonable rate, and they're feeding on, to a great extent, the same Chinook salmon that southern residents are eating.
So is there an emergency here of some kind?
Oh, well, southern residents are no question that they're in big trouble, yes. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what's the problem and what's the solution? And I have to say I'm a bit skeptical of much of the discussion that's been raised.
Like what?
Well, Chinook salmon, the dominant, most important food item appears to be Fraser River salmon, not Columbia River salmon. Fraser River-bound Chinook salmon have been declining, but there's no dams on the Fraser River.
Mm-hmm.
I think the weight of the evidence for the decline of Chinook salmon, certainly on the Fraser, and I think in general, is one is climate change. It's been getting warmer. That's typically bad for our fish down here. And the other is the growth of marine mammal populations. And there's
talking about the seals?
I'm talking about seals, sea lions, and northern resident killer whales. Northern resident killer whales eat far more Chinook salmon than the commercial or recreational harvest. So the biggest competitor for adult Chinook salmon is northern resident killer whales.
So it's the northern resident killer whales we have to blame for the troubles of the southern resident killer whales.
Well, if Chinook salmon is the problem, it could be that the high loads of toxic chemicals that the southern residents are carrying is really what's causing these animals to be in very poor condition and not a lack of food. We can't really nail it down and say it's a lack of food, although Chinook salmon has definitely been getting less abundant, but it hasn't seemed to bother northern residents.
Hmm. So, of course, the big debate is, are people to blame for this? And is there something that we should be doing as people who live along the shoreline and who dump chemicals into the Sound to protect them?
Well, there's two questions. One is, are we to blame? And
yeah,
I would say almost certainly to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do? I don't think anyone has come up with a way to get all the chemical load in Puget Sound to clean it up because it's already in the water. It's in the sediments. I don't know that there's a solution to that. It isn't at all clear what actually can be done that would really make the southern residents do better.
Well, somebody thinks a good idea would be to shoot sea lions because we're seeing a lot of dead sea lions showing up.
Certainly, there's a lot of people who believe that a reduction in the marine mammal competitors, seals and sea lions, have grown, say, roughly tenfold in the last 30 years, and they eat a lot of juvenile Chinook and coho. I certainly have academic colleagues who've done research on this who would say that you're never going to rebuild Chinook populations unless we reduce the things they're eating, Chinook and coho.
What do you think about the idea of taking more dams down?
All of the analysis I've seen of that suggests it would have a very, very small effect on the abundance of Chinook salmon in the Columbia River. In mm-hmm. fact, the most recent thing I saw coming out of NOAA was there would actually be a initial decline because most of the fish in the Columbia River now are of hatchery origin. The hatcheries on the Snake River are funded by the dams, and if the dams were to be taken down, those hatcheries would stop putting fish out. And so there would probably be a buildup of wild fish, but it would take 5, 10, 15 years before that would compensate for the decline in hatchery production. So I'm skeptical that taking Snake River dams down would, A, really increase the abundance of Chinook salmon in the Columbia, and, B, that would help southern resident killer whales even in the medium term, certainly not in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Now, you believe that global warming is real, that we're seeing its consequences, correct?
Oh, for sure. There's no question the world's getting warmer.
Because you come across as kind of a skeptic on some of the things that we've been told about, at least fish populations, but it is having an impact on fish?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, I work on salmon in Bristol Bay a lot, and global warming's been good for those species.
It's been good for them.
Yeah, the Alaskan salmon tend to do better in warm years and worse in cold years. So they're at the northern end of the range for the species, and warmer is better. We have longer growing seasons. The ice goes out earlier, and we had a record return, the best return since 1900 when we started keeping records.
I thought salmon around here were dropping.
Well, they are dropping around here. Because we're at the southern end of the range. But there's more Pacific salmon in the Pacific Ocean right now than any time in history, certainly since we've had any way of estimating it.
Like even before Europeans came here?
Yeah. That between really good conditions in Alaska and Russia, all the science estimates that we have more Pacific salmon now than we ever have. But the problem is they are not Chinook and Coho and Steelhead in Washington State. In fact, they're not Chinook salmon anywhere. But Pink, Sockeye, and Chum, over the last 10 years have been at record abundance around the North Pacific.
Can I tell the difference in the grocery store between a Sockeye and a Pink and a Chinook?
It wouldn't take you very long to be able to tell. First, you could look at the price. And I'm sure you could tell the difference by taste.
Okay. So for people who feel emotionally attached to the southern resident orcas and want to save them in this area, what can they do?
I don't know. Frankly, I'm not convinced that there's anything that we can do. The one thing that's very clear about southern residents, I think, is the toxic chemical loads that they're carrying.
And that is coming from?
That's coming from the waters of Puget Sound, from our history of industrial activity down here. But it's not current industrial activity. It's historical industrial activity. And I don't think there's any way we can go out and clean that up.
Really? So all the shoreline regulations that are designed to prevent people from dumping stuff into the Sound, and none of that is going to make any difference?
No, I don't think that's a problem anymore. I think that's
been handled.
I think that's been handled. So the toxic chemicals the killer whales are carrying is largely from historical pulp mills and industrial activity, but not things that you can go out and fix now.
Ray Hilborn, professor of fisheries and aquatic sciences, University of Washington. He says the problem that's facing the southern resident orcas is basically baked in because of the way our predecessors used the waterways around here.